Hello, welcome back. Welcome to week three of The Art of Community. I am Simon, and I'm going to be preaching today. Do you like the artwork for this series?
Yes.
I looked at this morning, and for the first time after like 3 weeks of looking at it, I saw a dog. Has anybody seen the dog yet?
Yeah,
bottom right. That's just thought I'd share that with you. That kind of tickled my fancy and thought, oh, good for you. Well, I'm going to be speaking on mission. This Art of Community series, we've been looking at three M's. You might have heard Joel talk about these three M's. These three M's are going to be totally characterizing us as a church in terms of small group and community life. These three M's are mission, message, and multiply. You're going to hear a lot about these three M's these 6 weeks, and to be honest, the years ahead. If you've been around this church for a while, you might remember from the 90s, small group community was about the four W's. I won't confuse you with those. Right now, for the vision and mission of our church, these three M's are what we're going to be running with for these 6 weeks, and to be honest, for the next 6 years probably. Last week, Joel spoke on message. Message. As a community, we have the message of Jesus. We believe his message can transform lives, transform our hearts, a message of good news, a message of redemption, of grace. He spoke last week, if you were here, about the way they talk, the way that community talk to each other. There's something that they have, the words that they speak, words of life. Well, this week I'm going to be speaking on mission. This great message isn't just something for us in this room, but actually the love of Christ is for everybody in this city. The words of Christ, this redemption, this grace is for everybody. And God sent us on a mission to bring this lovely message of Jesus to everybody. So it's going to be quite practical. We're going to have a lot of fun this morning just learning how, as a community, we can be on mission with this message of Jesus. Does that sound good? Will you just pray with me? Is that all right? I just need God's help. Father, I pray that you would just be with us this next 40 minutes. Help me to communicate clearly. Thank you, I'm not just speaking information, but I pray there be just an impartation of faith, of just genuine, like, yeah, I get that. Spirit of God, own what I'm saying. I pray for the word of God to just bear fruit amongst us as a community, and many people would come to know Jesus because of this. Amen. 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 So there's a few questions here. It's a community mission. How? What actually is that? Where, when, and hopefully I'm going to be answering some of these questions for us. But the best place to start when you want to think about mission is to look at the chief missionary himself, to look at Jesus. And when you look at Christ, he's a phenomenal missionary, the way he loved people, cared for people. And a key verse for us this morning is going to be John 20, verse 21. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. Now, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." The way that Jesus was as a missionary, the way he was sent, what he did, he's saying here, I'm sending you to do likewise, to do the same. So what we're going to do this morning is to look at just five missional practices of Jesus. Five things that he did, really simple, really easy peasy. We all can get this morning. And we're going to look at how Christ did all of these things and how we can do those likewise. And the great thing is these five things, they spell out the word bless. B-L-E-S-S, nice and easy for you. So we're going to look at number one, bless. Begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. Everywhere Jesus went, he blessed people. He blessed people. And he brought healing and miracles and teachings and parables and sermons on the mount. But underneath all of that, you look at the life of Christ, there's this amazing prayer life underneath it all. An undercurrent of just prayer. Of being with the Father. Of getting away from the crowds and just being with God. Not just a religious babble, but a communion and communication with the Father. So another key verse for us under prayer, Mark 1, 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus prayed early in the morning, still dark. He got up and he prayed. There's something about getting up and beginning your day with prayer. Be for what? Begin with prayer. Jesus often began his days with prayer. We can't say that every day Jesus prayed religiously, but quite a way through the gospel, as you see, he often got up. This is just one example. He got up early to pray. There's a lovely verse in Ephesians 2, verse 10. It says, "We're all God's handiwork." This won't come on the screen, don't worry. "We're all God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I'll just say that again. We're created as God's handiwork, in Jesus to do good works. Yeah, great, got that. Need to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's made you to do good things, but there's this preparing that God has done beforehand, which means that you can walk through your life each day expecting to walk into these good works that God has already prepared for you. It means you can start each day with prayer and live that day as if it were on purpose. Not just a random accident of whatever my calendar is. No, no, God's been sovereignly orchestrating, preparing things. You can begin your day and say, God, send divine appointments. Put things in my place that are of your will. What are these things? Jesus begun his day with prayer. Begun. I've got a friend in the Hove site. This is a multi-site church with four different sites. A friend called Claire. She's just been amazing in the last year or two. Just taking hold of these divine appointments that God's put in her life. Just seeing God at work through her life in prayer for healing. And seeing people just come to know the truth of gospel. Giving their lives to Jesus. Not just in a church, but in a cafe. And I was just talking to her this week, like, Claire, what's going on here? What's changed over the last couple of years? How have you learned to do that? She says, actually, I begin each day just praying, God, help me. Who do you want me to bless today? Who do you want me to help today? And actually, in that place of prayer, realizing, man, I've been blessed. I've been blessed by God. Now, who do you want me to bless? God, will you set up some divine appointments today? People I'm going to walk into that. Right there, you prepared a good work for me. Right there, your kingdom can come. Beginning each day with this prayer. And actually, that's what happens in the private. Who do you want me to bless today? Often she's saying too, just dealing with my heart. If we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we don't want to do that. Sometimes stopping to help somebody on a street just feels like, oh, I'd rather not. I just need to go on and do this. Actually, no, God, deal with my selfishness. Deal with my laziness. God, give me your compassion. It's good to pray those prayers. It isn't always easy and always natural. Begin with those prayers in the private place. In the public place, just go for it. He's with you. Be prayerful through the day. God, what are you doing? Maybe this conversation here. God, are you at work? It's not like every person you come across, you need to stop and pray for them or speak words of truth. No, no, there's certain works that God's prepared beforehand. Ask him in the morning. Just ask him. God, will you use me today? Who do you want me to bless? We've been blessed and we can bless others. Begin your day with prayer. Jesus began his day with prayer. His miracles, his life, his truth came out of that place. But it wasn't just beginning the day with prayer. He actually began his ministry with prayer too. Jesus actually first started speaking and preaching when he was 30 years old. That's 30 years of not preaching, you know, in that public way. And he began his ministry actually with 40 days of prayer and fasting. I'm not saying we should all go now and do 40 days of prayer and fasting. But before he went public, he went and fasted, sought God for 40 days. More specifically too, another way he began his ministry of prayer, Luke 6, 12 to 13, it says, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray. He spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and he chose 12 of them. So this is like the night before he got his team together. What did he do? He didn't just spend the night on his phone. He didn't just spend his night thinking, oh, what should I do? No, he prayed. He sought God for who these 12 should be. He had lots of followers. Who are going to be the 12 disciples that I gather to be in my small group? Who are going to be the beginning of this community that I'm going to build? And how did he make those decisions? Did he just look with his wisdom that, yeah, this person could be good, this person, yeah? No, he went to God, consulted God. He prayed about it. It wasn't just the obvious choices either. You look at that lineup of who actually made the final list. Some of them are not obvious choices. Some of them, you know, on paper should be enemies, but Jesus has put them both in the same group. That might have been just Jesus' idea, or actually it might have been in the place of prayer. He began to get faith for certain people. Yeah, okay, maybe this person here. Let me just say this. If Jesus, who is God, who is the wisdom of God, needed to go to a place of prayer to make these decisions about his community, who to spend time with, who to invest in, how much more should we? I'm not God, and I just think, oh, I can do it on my own sometimes. No, Jesus took time just to pray. He began his small group with prayer. Jesus has purpose, destiny for everybody. And actually, in the place of prayer, that God can begin to speak things about people that you just totally would have written off otherwise. Like I said, some of those choices, not so obvious, wouldn't have gone with that guy. Actually, in the place of prayer, God is letting you in on a few secrets about that person. Hey, I actually really want to do something with Peter. I know he's a fisherman. I know this, but I want to do something with him. Oh, okay. Wow. Anna and I, we've been leading a small group for the last 2-3 years for BIM musicians. We started a few years ago. Amazing, wonderful community. We decided early on that we wanted to pray for our small group each week. We try and pray most weeks anyway, but we wanted to pray specifically for our small group, just to pray God would bless it, pray as we meet the next night, that you know, God's presence would be there, people would really understand something of this message. And just one night, I remember particularly a few years ago, we were praying, and we ended up praying for this particular person, and we just both suddenly felt a surge of energy, a surge of like faith, and that means, you know, just an excitement, like I think God wants to do something with this person. We kind of stopped and like, babe, I think God really wants us to pray about this person. Okay, let's do that. So we began to pray for this person, pray that God meets them, and this energy was coming. It wasn't just our energy getting excited, it was something coming from inside of us. And realized, I'm praying something here that God wants. We prayed and prayed that God would meet this person. The next day we had a small group. This person seemed quite interested in what was going on. It was good. This person isn't a Christian, but been coming for a few like weeks or months. And as a small group, just came to pray together at the end. I actually had a word of knowledge for somebody else in a small group, just somebody else, not this person. But I didn't know that this person I had a word of knowledge about. I'd actually been talking with this person in the daytime about that exact same thing. And as I was speaking this word of knowledge, this other person just started to cry. And then I was like, what's going on? Are you okay? He's like, how did you know we've been talking about that? How did you know? That's exactly what we've been saying all day. She began to weep. She's like, God is real. I know he's here. I need to explore this. What happened there? From a place of beginning with prayer, God put someone in our hearts, in our community, and on the back of that week, just their lives beginning to change. God is real. Begin with pray. When you pray, things happen. It's not a religious babble. So just to say at the beginning of this point, if you've never prayed, what's the thing for you this week? Why don't you take some time this week just to pray? Just to take some time, switch off your phone, maybe open the Bible, maybe look at some of these verses I'm going to speak of today, and just start to ask God for some of these things to happen in your life. Maybe just do it once from now to next week. Maybe you're a now and then prayer. I try and pray a couple of times a week. What's the good thing for you to do? Start to ask him just specifically for bigger things. Maybe start to take hold of him for certain people in your community. Maybe for you, actually, you need to begin your day with prayer. I know practically not everybody can do that. Right now, it's quite hard for us. We've got kids that wake up at 6 every morning, and it's quite hard to beat 6 a.m. So that's not obviously the way we can do everything. It's seasons, I get that. But for some of you, actually, just maybe once or twice this week, just to begin your day with prayer. Start to ask God to do things in your community, to do things for your life. Ask him. Maybe you're a regular prayer. You pray regularly, and you've seen God do amazing things. Let me say, he can do more than you can ask or imagine. Dream bigger. Ultimately, I'd go as far as saying this. The transcript of your prayers for your community will end up being the script for your community. If someone writes down what you pray, what will end up happening is that will be the script that is walked out. If you end up praying just small little prayers, God bless this, make this happen, God will do that. If you end up praying in faith the big things, you can look back over time at the script of the things you prayed and be like, God's done it. That's totally been my story. Times when I've prayed for things, I look back after months, sometimes years, and think, my gosh, that's actually happened. What's going on there? God answers what you ask. If you have not, because you ask not, let's ask big things of our God for our community. Amen? First B, begin with prayer. This is for everybody. Second thing, L. L is for listen. 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 I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a situation, a social context, when you're talking to somebody face to face and you just get the vibe they're not listening to you? You know, maybe they're like just obviously sort of looking around the room or like having eye contact and looking off again. You're like, are you even listening here? I could just say anything. Or maybe it's that thing where they are looking at you, but like sort of nodding, but looking straight through you. And you think, I don't think you're actually listening to anything I'm saying. It's incredibly frustrating. When somebody takes time to listen to you, like listen to your needs, listen to your objections, actually listen to your problems, listen to what you're struggling with, that feeling of being listened to, so important, so valuing. L is for listen. And the temptation is, when somebody's sharing these things with you, it's just to immediately problem solve. Immediately, like, try and bring the answers, bring the truth, bring the gospel, whatever it is. You want to problem solve. You've got the answers. I've been married for 6 years. In 2 weeks' time, it'd be 6 years. Thank you. Miracle. Thanks, mate. That's so encouraging. I'm telling you, as someone who's married, there's sometimes when Anna's struggling with something and she's pouring out her heart, and I've learned over 6 years what she doesn't need is me to jump in and problem solve. Actually, she just wants me to listen to her. It's not just Anna. I think if we're honest with ourselves, it's all of us, isn't it? Now, I did a maths degree for 3 years. That's like 3 years of problem solving. So when she's telling me this stuff, honestly, literally, I've got a spreadsheet in my head of like cause and effect and how it's going to happen. And no, don't go there. Just listen. Listen. Now, when we come to Jesus, what do you think he's like? He's got the words of eternal life. He's the one who can speak truth. If anybody can just speak, and we need to listen, surely it's Jesus. But no, even Jesus, the words of life, he's a listener. In John 4, there's the woman at the well. There's an interaction with a woman he's just met at a well. If you notice what happens here, there's a dialogue that goes backwards and forwards. Backwards and forwards, and he's listening to her. He's not like just preaching to her, you deal with it, off you go. No, he's listening to her answers, and then he's asking his questions based on her answers. That's active listening. You know, active listening is you're listening, you change your questions based on what they say. Non-active listening is you're just ignoring what they say and carry on. You often see that sometimes on talk shows. Someone's interviewing somebody and like, tell me about this new movie. And they just da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the next one's just like, and tell me about this book. And it's like, you weren't even listening to anything they just said there. Whereas you would have said this or picked up on this. No, Jesus isn't like that. He listens to you. I can't imagine Christ sitting down with somebody like Peter, and Peter sort of sharing his problems, and Jesus on the outward side just being like, yeah, and inwardly being like, da-da-da-da-da. No, he's actively interested. It's so often to let our minds wander. Jesus wouldn't have been like that. Oh, Jesus, I'm struggling with this. Who turned the water into wine? I did. No. He's engaged. Our God is a listening God. He's not always speaking to you so that his ears are blocked up. He's a God who listens. He's a God who listens. He's love, and love is listening. Amongst other things, or a brilliant way to love someone is to listen to them. So hey, you've begun with prayer. You want to start something great in your community. You want to build something where the gospel is. Next stage isn't just to go and bring the message. Actually, one of the things we need to do is just learn to listen to people. Actively listen. Listen to people's problems. Listen to people's objections. Don't come in like problem-solving mode. I've been with people before, people that are struggling to understand the idea of Christianity, got some questions, kind of open to the idea, but would say they're an atheist, and somebody who's a Christian, and really what the Christian's doing is like trying to win an argument, like one-upmanship, no, this and this and this. It's like, listen to them. Try and get in their shoes. What are they actually saying? This isn't about arguing, it's about listening to people. A guy called Terry Virgo, who founded this church, actually Joel Virgo's dad, he has a friend in Mombasa, who's a pastor, a missionary. And this guy planting a church in Mombasa, he became friends with an imam. That's like the head of a Muslim community, like an elder in that situation, in that religion. And he got some time with this imam, just sat with him once, 1 week. And he didn't go in and just tell him the gospel off the bat. He actually just sat and said, now tell me about Islam. Tell me about the Quran. I really don't know much about it. Please tell me. And he'd begun over some time just to tell him a bit more. And he asked questions. Okay, and that means that? Okay. He went away. And next week, they had another meeting. And he did exactly the same. He's like, just tell me a bit more about this. I want to just make sure I've understood it correctly. This went on for about 2 months. Just like most weeks, sitting down with this imam of the Muslim community, just asking questions, just patiently listening to him. didn't just speak a word about anything else, just asking about the Quran, asking about his religion, how it works for him. And finally, after 2 months, this guy's like, we've been sitting down for a while now. You're a Christian, right? Yeah, yeah. Tell me about Christianity and the Bible, about Jesus. And over, I don't know how many minutes, he began to talk about Jesus, explained the gospel. This imam in that moment gave his life to Jesus and became a Christian. It's the power of listening, the power of being heard. This guy isn't just out to just shove stuff down my throat. He cares about me. We're friends. Even if he didn't become a Christian, they'll still be friends. There's something about listening and people feeling like they're being heard, which is so important. So a way to bless people. We want to be on mission in terms of this first M and these three M's. Bless people. Bless them by praying for them, but bless them by just listening to people. Just a few really helpful Bible verses on this. Proverbs 18:13. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Man, we jump to that so quickly, hey? We just jump in with the answer. Folly, shame. Be a listener. Another one, I think in James 1, verse 9. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. You know, God gave us two ears and one mouth. Let's use them in those proportions. Did I say that right? Mini panic there. Just a few practical things. Maybe you're meeting somebody at a party or some social thing, and you don't know them. Say, particularly introverted people, like, I'm not very good in these situations. You know, what am I going to do? Just stand there. Hi, I'm Simon. I'm just listening. That's not going to work. No. You need to learn to ask questions, to draw people out. A few practical things. Just ask people what they're passionate about. Find out what people's hobbies are. You won't be long before you find common ground. That's just brand new, like, people. But when you're talking to people who are interested about church, interested about Jesus, asking questions, ask them what they feel about the Bible. Ask them if they've had religious experiences. Ask them what they think about just what their worldview is in terms of God. Just try and find out where they're at. You'll be able to help them into an understanding of the gospel and the Bible so much better if you understand where they're from. You get the point. So, B-L-E is for eat. Yes, it is. There's something about eating, something about food that just changes the dynamic. Am I on my own here? You hang out with some friends, it's okay. You introduce food, it gets a lot better. Now, all kinds of contexts, from a business lunch, often business deals are done over food. You just talk to somebody, you need to talk through something. Just food relaxes people. There's that mutual enjoyment of just you're doing something together. There's an activity. If you're a group of people, yeah, it's okay. It can be all right. Maybe a bit awkward, sort of a bit like, okay, da-da-da-da. If you introduce food to the situation, it's like this common level for everybody. You're sharing in the same experience. You're enjoying the same food together. Food is amazing. Why is that? If you notice, over food, people begin to actually open up a little bit. You meet up with a friend, let's go for a drink. Yeah, okay, but go for food. It's like a lot more of a bigger experience. But when you're eating together, people begin to open up a lot more. People just make community a lot more. Is that random? Is that an accident? Is that just the way it is? No! It's God's design. God's given the gift of creation, the gift of food, for humanity to enjoy, to be thankful for. That's not random. God's given that to us on purpose. God knows that food is a community builder, and we're to capitalize that and use it. Let's look at Jesus again as we're looking at him and all of these things. Just quickly look through the Bible. I think in Matthew 9, verse 9, I don't know if this one's on the screen, it is, verse 11. When the Pharisees saw this, he's saying Jesus hanging out with them, some tax collectors and Pharisees, and Matthew, who he's just met. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? So these guys here, they're not like his disciples. They were his disciples in the mix, but actually they're just a brand new community of people, just met them. What's he doing? Yeah, I'll come back to your house. Let's have some food together. He's happy just to eat on their terms, eat in their places, eat in their houses. He's eating with them. It's not like, hey, I'm your Messiah. Come to my synagogue. I'll tell you a few things, then go home. I'll see you a bit later. No, he's a man in the world. He's a man eating what they eat. He's a man just connecting with just normal people, eating normal food. Another verse, John 21, verse 9. Jesus has just risen from the dead. This is the risen, like resurrected Jesus. And people are going out fishing, and they see Jesus on the shore. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, fish laid out on it, and bread. What's that? Jesus gets up, risen from the dead. What does he make for Peter and the disciples? A barbecue on the beach. Charcoal fire, fish laid on it. I like the fact he didn't use gas, but charcoal's good. It smokes the fish. Do you get that? The risen Jesus, what does he do? The first time he sees Peter and his disciples, he makes them some breakfast over dinner, over food, a barbecue. Jesus ate food. This is all the way through the Gospels. Jesus ate food with people. Why? It helps build community. I love wedding receptions. Man, I love wedding receptions. It's not just food. It's like food. It's like three courses, top dollar. It's like amazing stuff. And is anyone, am I on my own here? Come on. The whole Bible ends with a wedding reception, the wedding feast of the Lamb. I love that. The word feast is in there. Revelation 19, that's where the picture's ending. You see, like God starting with Adam and Eve, eat of the fruit in the Garden of Eden. Where does it end? Eat of this wedding feast. Food is on the heart of God. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is good. How can we use food in terms of our mission? When we started our BIM small group, what we found was we did it a couple of times in Starbucks, just thought that could work. You know a lot of musicians hang out there. We sort of gathered around a table. It was okay, a bit strange in a such a public situation. Okay, let's do it in our house. Again, it was okay, not bad. The day that we decided to eat together every week as a small group, our whole community changed. We decided, like, let's do it an hour earlier. We didn't have kids then, so it was like 6:30 to 7:30. Let's have, like, food together. Then 7:30 to 9:30, we'll just, like, learn about Jesus in the Bible. Anybody can come, whether you're a Christian or not. Just learn about Jesus. And when we had food together, within, like, 2 weeks, like, it doubled. People were just like, oh, wow, there's food. So, there's a practical need for a student. That's the people that we were reaching. But more than that, people began to say, it just feels like a family here. I'm away from my family at home. I come here. I just feel like there's a family. Even like 2 years on, people still say it to us. Oh, I just feel like it's a family here. It's just because we're sitting around a big table having dinner, having just normal conversation about music and whatnot. Introducing food into a community is a great way to build, and it's a great way to bless somebody. It doesn't just have to be a small group. It could be somebody that you're getting to know as a friend. Maybe the person that you're just hanging out with or some friends, you think, you know, the message of Jesus is definitely for them. But if I invite them to church, I don't think they'd ever come. But you can invite them to your house for dinner. We can all do that. We can all bless somebody with a meal. We can all just say, come over. Maybe some of you, that might be your experience. You've invited people to church, they've not come. Invite them to your house for food. Some of you are brilliant hosts. So you have a massive gift of hospitality. You're just amazing, like cooks. You're just brilliant at hosting people. Just amazing. But maybe some of you, you're doing that mainly for people in this room, mainly for like Christians, which is great for our community. But maybe one step for you, why not invite a work colleague just round to your house for dinner one night? Maybe invite somebody who wouldn't normally come to church. Maybe somebody at the school gate, just, oh, you guys coming for dinner? I've noticed in our culture, and just from living on the same street for 6 years, this isn't particularly like that done initially. To actually go into someone's house, share food with them, do it in mutual locations, it's a big step. And it's why it kind of comes after listen and get to know people. But it's a massive, like, builder in relationship. Inviting somebody into your house. It doesn't have to be the best meal. It doesn't matter. Don't want to create some big high bar they feel like they have to reach when you go to theirs. Nah, just be normal. But food helps people. It's godly. It's Christ-like. It's community building. It's delicious. So to recap, we begin with prayer. We listen to people, and we eat. First S, serve. You know, when you spend time with people, and you're listening to them, you're getting to know their lives a little bit, you soon realize, actually, people have all kinds of needs. Some, like, physical need, some, like, healing need, some of it's just a financial need, some of it's just a time need. Everybody does. We all have different kinds of needs. A great way to bless somebody is just to help serve them somehow. Serve their need, help them in some way. again, if we look at the chief missionary, Jesus, is he somebody that serves us? Yeah, of course he is. Matthew 20 says, the Son of Man came to be served, but to serve. He wasn't just somebody who was just like, come on, serve me. No, he's happy to serve people and actually ultimately give his life as a ransom for many. You might think, just looking at this verse, oh, Jesus serves us by dying for us. Yes, that's true. That's a massive way he blessed us. But it says, he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life. Jesus served people and he gave his life. Jesus serving people wasn't just his life. He spent his life serving people and he gave his life. So in our lives together, we don't all have to go to a cross to serve somebody. Laying down your life actually is in the day-to-day. You can serve different people's needs. Again, in John 13, Jesus washed people's feet. Ultimately, he did die for us. He did give his life. That is love. But he served us. You know that phrase, go the extra mile? Anybody heard that? I think it comes from dropping off somebody at their house or something, like, oh, I'll just drop you at the end of the road. No, you can go the extra mile. Drop them at their door. If anybody went the extra mile, it's Jesus. Constantly going the extra mile for people. Walking the extra mile to Calvary, ultimately. A friend of mine, Paul Dawson, from the Racecourse site, they were doing something as a site. They just wanted to serve their community in White Hawk. They're just knocking on doors just saying, hey, we're just a local church and community, just started. We just want to serve our community. Is there anything we can do for you? And some people being like, that's a bit strange. No, but thanks anyway. Some people being like, okay, what do you mean? Well, we can do painting, we can do your garden, whatever you want. Just wanting to serve their community. One person was like, yeah, our fence has just blown down in the wind. Remember we had the gale recently, a few months back. The fence had blown down. Like, yeah, we've got somebody who's really good at that. We can get someone to help you. Paul Dawson, friend of mine, landscape gardener, he went around in about 20 minutes, just went into the garden, put the fence back up. He said himself, and he doesn't mind me saying this, he wasn't particularly in a mode of thinking, I really want to help, like, speak the gospel to this person. But it was like, oh, I'm going to serve them. But he wasn't kind of ready to say lots of stuff, but just happy to serve them. That person ended up coming to church that Sunday, bringing their family, older person, bringing their family. The daughter ended up going on their 20s weekend away, which is a few weeks ago. Now they come every Sunday to the Racecourse Church. And the daughter's now brought a friend who, again, isn't a Christian, and to that 20s weekend away, starting to come to church. How did that begin? Just practically saying, hey, can I serve you? That's such a countercultural thing, just to serve somebody. As you're getting to know friends and family and people, and you're beginning to find out just different needs they have, why don't you ask them, like, hey, we could really help you here. In fact, like, we would really love to. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it doesn't even have to be like a massive gift, like, hey, we've just been praying together. We just want to give you this money because I know you're going through something hard at the moment. Now, it might be like in our community, in terms of just New England, we're a different demographic to White Hawk. Actually, in terms of our like slightly more middle class way, the idea of somebody knocking on our door saying, can I help you? We tend to be a bit more like, no, I've got my life buttoned up. I don't need any help, thank you. You know, we have this kind of slight pride and self-sufficiency. We've got it buttoned up, we're okay. But actually, if we're honest with ourselves, most days we could all do with a little help with something. But we like to give the appearance that we've all got it sorted and we're fine. How do we kind of combat that? Well, how's this going to work for us? One idea a mate of mine had this week is actually it's often good to combat that by yourself just asking somebody for help. Nothing major. It's like, oh, hey, would you just give me a hand moving this bit of furniture? And you're actually making yourself a little bit, you know, you're humbling yourself a little bit, breaking through that kind of pride, self-sufficiency thing. And that can just sort of set a bit of a tone. Then when you ask them, like, hey, we'd love to help you with this, it's a bit more normal. Does that make sense? Jesus himself, he did that. He said to the disciples, go and get me a donkey. On the cross, somebody get me some wine. He wasn't up to this pride, self-sufficiency thing. He's happy to ask for help. But it just shows the importance of relationship. I don't think the knocking on the door thing will work for everybody. Maybe not for your friends. It might do. But it's why serve comes in at number four. If we just go and try and serve people immediately, sometimes it's a bit like, I don't even know you. The importance of just building relationship, people like knowing they've been heard, listened to, you've had a meal with somebody, they know you. When you say, hey, can we help you with this? They're much more likely to say yes. When was the last time you served somebody, your neighbor, your friend? When was the last time you just had an idea? Like, man, if I did that, that would really bless them. That would really help them. Just quickly, my friend Tom Oakden here, he's recently just done something brilliant for the Kemp Town Carnival. A year ago, just saw an advert for the Kemp Town Carnival. I won't go into all the details of the story, but basically, the carnival is doing well, but one of the biggest problems is, after the carnival, just rubbish and litter everywhere. The slight conflict between the carnival and the community of like, it's good, but there's just so much rubbish. And he's thinking, hang on, as Christians, we could do something about this. I could maybe gather some friends together. We could just clear up the rubbish afterwards, just help serve this carnival. So that's what he did. Just, you know, we talked about it here on a Sunday, got 50 people together, went back to the governing board, sat with them, just like, hey, I've got 50 people who can help. They were like blown away. He'd got all of these names of people to help. After the Kemp Town Carnival this year, their official cleanup team came in and just like, this is the best year we've ever done. There's barely anything to do. Why? Just Tom had an idea, pulled together a community of people just to help serve something. What's more, actually, we also helped with their the donations. I think last year they made about £300. Tom, are you in the room? He's not. He's probably serving someone out there. He's serving in COGS. They made about 300 quid on the bucket. And so the carnival ran out a bit of a loss. This year we had about 50 CCKers just like jangling buckets, and they made, was it a couple of two or three grand? We're serving something. That's Tom's idea. What's your idea? How can you serve your community? How can you serve people that you know? Begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, final S. We're getting to this place. Story. This is a bit more of the message. Everybody here is a story. Your story. Just everybody here has been on a journey. Everybody here has just come from somewhere, going somewhere. Everybody in the city has a story. The difference is the story here, if you're a Christian, is your story, you can see evidences of God's grace all over it. You can see how God's done this, how he's changed your life, how he's blessed you, how he's helped you, how he's changed your eternal destiny. We've all got a story, and they're all different, and they're all unique. But they're all part, all these different elements are part of your story. They point back to God. So in terms of like mission, we're not just going out just giving a just blank message to people. We're actually going to helping people see it in our lives, sharing something of your story. Not just blank truth, but it's truth in action. It's truth like personified in your story. It's truth narrated. It's truth like, oh, wow, okay. And when somebody begins to get to know you, you've listened to them, there's some kind of relationship, and then you begin to say some of the things that God's done, they see you close up. They know you're not just lying. They can see it like, oh, gosh, you're right. All of us have a story, and it's important to be able just to communicate quickly. That's my daughter. I think we should all just enjoy her for a moment. Oh. Everybody has a story. Being able to communicate something of your story, I would say these two things, one in 30 seconds and two in 3 minutes. It doesn't have to be your whole story. And it's important to say story doesn't have to be just how you came to know Jesus. That's kind of like your testimony. That's often what we do in baptisms. But the story, just any bit of your whole life is your story. Communicate something about what God's done in your life in 30 seconds. Or be able to do it as well. Communicate it in 3 minutes. Being able to just apply something of what God's done quickly in a conversation. Oh man, well, you never guess what. I really used to struggle with that too. But when I came to church, I met the person of Jesus. I just found I don't need that anymore. And ever since then, like, actually, I've been totally free from that. What was that, 15 seconds? I've introduced the concept of Jesus, life change. Like, oh wow, we've all got a story. God's given you a story to be able to share. When was the last time you just shared something of your story with somebody? Sometimes people are actually a bit fearful of actually saying those words out loud. And you think that people are going to be like, oh, get away from me. Nah, people like hearing about your life. They do. Like the enemy will try and tell you, you can't say that, you can't do that. That's a lie. People like, are interested in things. They are. Be people that, we want to be a people that actually we can show people what God's done in our lives. It's through seeing it through a story that people actually see, oh, this actually works. This, you know, God is alive. People can see it in you. People get to know you, trust you, they let you in. It means it's a great way to start bringing the message to people. The problem is when we flip this around, We go out like, right, yeah, mission, got that message. Okay, I need to just go and tell my story to people. No, 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 just telling stories. There's enough of that, and there's enough stories just being told all the time. People are like, yeah, it's good for you, but not for me. People value relationship. People value being heard. People value just getting to know each other. In that context, it's a great way. Do blessing people. Actually, people's hearts begin to open, their ears begin to open in terms of story. Don't feel the pressure. You've got to just say your whole testimony, but learn. Learn how to just quickly say something of what God's done in your life in 30 seconds and 3 minutes. Without like the B-L-E-S, that's actually not particularly blessing anybody. We're just telling them what we think. Jesus' style is he blessed people. Jesus spoke in stories. God loves stories. He spoke in parables. But amongst all the speaking that Jesus did, he blessed people. He blessed people left, right, and center. He loved people. And for us as a community, and I mean like us as New England, like those sitting here, in terms of right now where we're at, in the vision of this church and just the history of this church, in terms of the three M's, learning to bless people. I know many of us do it already loads, but it's a really important thing right now for us as a community. Learn how to bless. Mission, message, multiply. Learning how to bless people. So I feel like I want us to hear this not just as some individual how-tos in terms of mission, but I'm throwing this out as a community-like mission, a community project. New England, I'm chucking you a ball here, and I want to know, are we going to grab it and run with it or let it fall to the ground? And I think in all our hearts we're saying, no, I want to do this. I want to be a blessing. The good news of the gospel is all of us have been blessed. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms. God has blessed us through Jesus. He's blessed us with his love. He's blessed us. He's blessed us with food. He's blessed us with everything. And from that place of receiving, freely we've received, freely we can give. Let's go and be a blessing to each other, but let's be a blessing to our community. I think about all of the people that we personally know that's connected to us in terms of this, like, whoever's sitting in this room right now. It's probably about 200 or 300 here. We're talking about 2 or 3, like, thousand. Man, let's be a people that bless people this summer. Some of you, even right now, you might need to change your dinner plans, like, for lunch. Think, actually, I could call this person, invite them over. I could do this, I could do that. Let's run with him. Let's be a people of prayer, but let's bless our city. Three M's. Mission, message, multiply. We're learning how to bless, essential for the mission. We believe who Jesus is. He has to say and what he's done for us, but the good news is for every soul in the city, Jesus is the answer for them, and he wants to use us. He wants to use you to bless them. We're going to take communion.